This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard. And a happy Trash Tuesday to you. Thanks so much for being with us. Send us your trashes. DA on CBS is the Twitter handle. Again, DA on CBS. Also on the phone, it's at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We appreciate you stopping on by. Greg Anthony from Turner Sport to the NBA on Turner is scheduled to join us coming up here in a few minutes. So if you want to talk about the NBA's playoff race here, playoff chase, down to less than a week to go before the NBA postseason begins, let's do it. I have thought that the NBA, out of all of the sports playing right now, team sports, has done it best. I think it looks and feels better than Major League Baseball and the NHL. Now, I think the NHL has done a really good job as well. I think the hockey, by and large, have been pretty good. I think, by and large, the aesthetics have been pretty good. But the NBA's ability to be innovative, creative, and to use technology to create the digital fan, to make it feel like there's something going on in the arena, to at least make the eye not feel like it's quiet and staid and antiseptic. For the players to have put their emphasis on the outcomes of games. They have played late in games. At the end of games, we've seen stars take over. We've seen teams come together and play really well. We've seen exciting stories. I think the NBA's restart, above and beyond all the other sports playing, has been the best. And I think for all of the fears that the NBA was going to be unable to pull this off and we would never get to actually crown an NBA Finals champion, I think those fears are largely laid to waste right now. It feels like full steam ahead for the NBA postseason. Joining us here on the show is a friend of the show, 11-year NBA veteran and a member of the Turner Sports family, NBA analyst there for the NBA on TNT and NBA TV, Greg Anthony. Greg, good morning.
How you doing this morning, DA? Good to talk to you, my friend.
You too, buddy. I'm doing great. And like I was just saying, I thought the restart has been the best out of all of the team sports. And one of the things that has struck me is the intensity of these games when the stars are playing late in games. Have you been surprised at the quality of basketball late in games during the bubble?
Surprised a little bit. There isn't a lot of time between the restart and the postseason. So, teams are going to have different philosophies about how they want to approach it. Some are going to err on the side of caution, maybe not want to risk injury, but by the same token, you risk not having much rhythm, right? So we've seen that kind of play out a little bit with the Clippers. We've seen it a little bit with the Bucks as well. And conversely, those two teams have really struggled. And so that is a concern because, as we've seen, even though the play is really elevated, it hasn't looked the way it looked prior to the outbreak, right? Prior to the shutdown. I mean, you know, we didn't see the Phoenix Suns playing, you know, 6-0 basketball, right? We didn't see that. We didn't see Portland playing the way that they're playing. And so some teams that we didn't probably focus on are starting to emerge and take advantage of this opportunity. And the top two teams, the Lakers and the Bucks, you know, they've had their struggles. They have probably more questions. I'd say the Lakers more than the Bucks, but they both have more questions now than maybe answers when you go back to prior to the shutdown.
You know, speaking about the Lakers, they're going to have an interesting first-round matchup. It could be the Grizzlies. It could be the Blazers, and Damian Lillard's on a different planet right now. Who knows? Could be a red-hot Phoenix Suns. Should we expect that 1-8 matchup, Lakers versus whoever, to be more interesting than the normal 1-8 matchup is traditionally?
Yes. I would say if it's Portland. And, you know, we were talking about this yesterday in the pregame show. The last time you had an 8 seed make it to the NBA Finals, you had a work stoppage. And that wasn't a typical 8 seed either. You know, that Knicks team was better than an 8 seed, right? They had two all-NBA players on that team. They had a lot of proven talent. But because the season was shortened and injuries, they didn't have a chance to put their best foot forward. Well, the same thing with Portland. This Portland team, as presently constructed with their full roster, is no way near an 8 seed. You know, they're closer to a 4 seed. And so anytime you're a 1 and you're having some issues right now, which the Lakers are, and you got to go up against a team that potentially is an 8, potentially is a 4, I mean, that creates maybe a little doubt. And the other thing that happens oftentimes with a 1-8 matchup, that 8 seed doesn't truly believe. They're not going to say that, but they don't truly believe they can beat the 1 seed. That won't be the case in this game, in this series, if Portland is the team that ultimately gets in. Because they got a lot of veteran players, you know, who are comfortable in moments. And so that would be a dicey matchup. Then you factor in being in the bubble. You don't get that true home court advantage. You know, you don't get the same level of anxiety that you would have when you got to go play on the road and be in a hostile environment and not knowing necessarily how your young players are going to react to that. And so this levels the playing field so much more when you're in the bubble. It allows younger players to have more of an impact, I believe, come postseason than they would ordinarily have because they're not going to see anything they haven't seen before. I made this comment jokingly. Younger players actually are going to thrive in this environment because this is like playing on the circuit when they were coming out of high school. This is what the EYBL and the Adidas League and the Under Armour League, this is literally exactly how it was set up. And so they've been doing this for years now. And so now at this level, this is not that it's a glorified pickup game, but it's a controlled environment where they tend to have an opportunity to play in a comfort zone. So I think it's going to be really interesting moving forward.
That's a great comp. Greg Anthony joins us here on the show. This Blazers team, the 99 Knicks, that in a short 50-game season ended up as the 8 seed, but rambled all the way through the Eastern Conference playoffs to the NBA Finals. Really, really interesting comp there. You know, as a former player yourself, I think I'd like to know how you feel the mentality of these players are, because there was some sense when we were planning this and hearing the planning, well, who's going to take it seriously? It's the Disney Championship, the Disney World Playoffs. Will this championship matter? Do you think we didn't give the competitiveness of the players enough credit? Because when I'm looking at these guys in this restart, I feel like if LeBron's playing deep into last night's game, when they've already got the 1 seed locked up, then we really should understand, doesn't matter where they're playing, how they're playing, that winning is still of the utmost importance. What do you think about the mentality of the competitiveness of this kind of bubble scenario?
I think you hit it right on the head. Listen, you know, for all the people that had those comments about, oh, this, there's going to be an asterisk on this championship, or it doesn't carry the same weight. People initially tried to say that about that 99 season. I've never seen anybody question the championship that the Spurs won. There have been multiple championships won in the different sports through a work stoppage. It's going to matter every bit as much. And to your point about LeBron, you know he's chasing his legacy, right? So for him, he's looking at a chance to win his fourth NBA title with three different teams. And I don't think there's any doubt that all these players are focused on that. And quite frankly, the guys that are the lower seeds are looking at this as a unique opportunity to make history. Because but for this stoppage, they honestly might not have had the chance to really win it all. You got to look at the Lakers roster, right? Avery Bradley is not there. Big part of what they do. Rajon Rondo, he got hurt in you know, preparing to come back for the restart. So, like, their roster is not where it is would have been. Their rhythm's not where it would have been had the season played out. Hell, we would have already crowned a champion by now, right? So, yeah, these players are looking at this as an opportunity. Plus, they know that the spotlight is even bigger. More people are watching now than you ordinarily would have, right? Because there's nothing else going on. So all of sports benefit by playing now because there's just more excitement and there's more interest. So, yeah, the players are fully engaged and focused and looking at this opportunity to make some history.
We talked about this story yesterday, Draymond Green fined by the NBA for saying that we need to see Devin Booker on a different team, that he's got to go somewhere else where he can win. What did you make of Draymond's comments, and do you feel like sometimes we're wasting Devin Booker's career because he's playing on such a bad basketball team?
I had no issue with the comments. I mean, to me, they were kind of off the cuff, and he was saying what a lot of other people might think, unless you're a Phoenix Suns fan. And quite frankly, though, listen – the Phoenix Suns are heading in the right direction. I mean, they've won six straight games here. They're young. You know, they've got a front office now that seems to get it. You know, their last few drafts have gone, you know, pretty well for them. The 80s turned out to be a solid player and has a chance to be a star caliber player. Devin Booker is going to be in the conversation for the best player in the league in the next couple of years. And they got another – listen, they could have all this momentum and end up with the first pick in next year's draft. In this year's draft, I should say, which would give them another solid piece to build towards. So, I think he's still a very young player. He's still recognized throughout the league for how great a talent he is. But it is true. You've got to be a postseason performer. We talked about this earlier. Like, I'm sure he didn't get a lot of votes for All-NBA. I didn't vote for him, and it was directly because his team hasn't performed at a high enough level. But the confidence they're going to get, whether they make the playoffs or not, for how they played here, it's going to help them. They're going to have flexibility with cap space in the offseason. They're going to have a high draft pick potentially. I think we could very likely be looking at a playoff team a year from now. And I think that's when you'll start to have more of an appreciation for Devin Booker moving forward.
Greg Anthony joins us from Turner Sports to talk about the NBA bubble. We talked about the Blazers before. I'll finish on this note. Damian Lillard has been amazing, but he's also gotten into some trash talk with Paul George and others about chasing rings, going to other teams, being eliminated early, etc. And what Damian Lillard is saying is, you guys went to a team to win. I'm staying here. I'm part of the grind. I'm part of the foundation of winning a championship on my own team. What do you make of Damian Lillard's pride in that? And do you think he has a point that the integrity of staying put in Portland and trying to win there is greater than maybe what Paul George is doing going to the Clippers to try to win?
Well, listen, one, I'm a huge Damian Lillard fan. I think the way he plays and even the fact that he is so opinionated, I think speaks volumes. Having said that, we're in a different era. Where it's not the era that, you know, I grew up watching, maybe you grew up watching, where guys basically spent their entire careers. Players just have more leverage. They have more of a sense of worth. And so, and the younger fans kind of get it as well. So they're not as caught up in that. Now, it is nice if you can keep your stars there forever, but oftentimes it just doesn't happen. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki and Kobe Bryant, they were the last two that were able to basically begin and end their careers, you know, who were players of that ilk. Hopefully it happens for Dame. But that doesn't, to me, lessen who you are as a player. Ultimately, nobody's questioning Kawhi Leonard when he went to Toronto and won a championship. All I hear is that, you know, the guy's a two-time champ and two-time finals MVP, right? And he's got a chance to get a third with a third different team. That's history in and of itself. And in some respects, that you're also not in control of the destiny as a player if you don't have a great front office, if your front office can't build a championship caliber team. So, but you're going to be judged by whether or not you win rings. So I don't have a problem with guys leaving. I tell you what, though, it's going to make for a hell of an interesting story if those guys meet in the postseason. So I would hope that that is the case in some capacity, and we get to see and revisit all these comments.
Greg Anthony, part of the Turner team. They've done such good coverage in the restart of the NBA, NBA TV, the NBA on TNT. Check him out there. You can also follow him on Twitter at GregAnthony50, his old number, GregAnthony50. GA, it's always awesome to catch up, my man. Thanks so much for doing it for us today.
My pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the playoffs.
You too. Greg Anthony joining us this morning here on the DA Show. Great stuff. And look, it's if Damian Lillard does this in Portland this year, because they've got a really good contending team, and if they somehow are the 8 seed and get through the Lakers as the 1, and then they're able to knock off whoever else is in their way, maybe it's the Clippers, maybe it's the Rockets, maybe it's the Nuggets, whoever it is, en route to a championship. Yes, it'll be a bubble championship. Yes, it'll be a little quirky because of the restart. But Damian Lillard's ability to brag about how he won a title, doing it on a team and not leaving for greener pastures, would be some kind of special. It really would. It would be some kind of special in an era where Kevin Durant had to leave to win, where LeBron had to ultimately leave to win, where Kawhi Leonard won in San Antonio, but ultimately kind of chased down his own situation. And we see so much player movement. It would be really fascinating to see a guy drafted and open about, I want to do it here on my terms, and then ultimately do it on his terms. When we come back here on the show, he finished in sixth place at the Michigan International Speedway on Sunday. Eric Almirola is going to join us from NASCAR next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
You're so funny.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Just so funny. Welcome inside a Trash Tuesday edition of the DA Show, everybody. Make sure that you hit us up here on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Get ready for 9 straight hours of nonstop Europa League action as CBS Sports Network relives all of the quarterfinal matches. Tonight starting at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
Chica.
And we just had Greg Anthony join us from Turner Sports. TNT is going to feature a doubleheader, including a must-win game for the Blazers tonight at 6:30 Eastern time. It's Blazers-Mavs, followed by Pelicans and the Kings. TNT is going to televise more than 40 NBA playoff games, the most of any network, including the exclusive presentation of the 2020 NBA Western Conference Finals. TNT, doubleheader tonight. Blazers are fascinating. Hit us up on a Trash Tuesday. Rob in Topeka tweets, I'm trashing people at a cookout who ask you to cook their steak, and then have the nerve to open the lid to turn their steak. Never, ever touch another man's grill. That's sacred ground. This isn't my first rodeo. I know what I'm doing. Hashtag get them out.
That's a dumpster dive.
You ain't kidding. If you're going to ask me to cook the steak or the burger, that's fine. I'm happy to do it. But then you can't micromanage me. If you want to do it, you can do it. But if you're going to ask me to do it, you got to trust me here. Not a rookie.
Burgers.
Good burgers.
Burgers.
Cosmo tweets in DA, guys, I got to tell you, I almost fell out of the shower listening to the wild boar story. Well, all of us were quite delighted to talk about the wild boar story last hour, where a naked sunbather in a park in Berlin had his laptop stolen by a wild boar because his laptop was in a bag. The wild boar apparently was snorting through another bag and found some pizza in that, and then apparently got all excited about the new bag, and it had a laptop, and that nudist fat old guy was chasing down this wild boar through the park, running naked through this park, and there's pictures of it. So we're asking you guys today, as part of the poll question, as I'm sure any good sports radio show would do, do you think the Lakers can win the NBA Finals? Do you think Mike Trout's going to win the MVP? Will the Rangers change their fortunes by winning the number one pick in the draft? I mean, we could have done all of that like any good sports radio show would do. But because we're not any good sports radio show, because, well, we're probably loosely defined as a sports radio show, today's poll question is, do you think you could outrun a wild boar while naked? Because this is a very important athletic question, in fact. Running down a wild boar would be hard enough with sneakers and track shorts on, compression shorts, whatever, tank top. But when you're naked and exposed, you're naked and afraid, and you're barefoot trying to chase down this wild boar who has your laptop, that's a whole different type of athletic and competitive endeavor. And so today's question, the poll on Facebook and Twitter, do you think you could outrace a wild boar while naked and barefoot? Please vote. Rock the vote, because as we all know, it's such an important thing this election season to cast your vote. Standing by with our headline this morning is Andrew Bogish. AB, what do we got?
DA, hello again. These headlines are sponsored by HBO. Football is back, and so is HBO's Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks Los Angeles premieres tonight at 10 p.m. on HBO. Stream it on HBO Max. Big
Girlfriend.
Ten presidents will talk again today about their football season. Maybe because coaches and players spent yesterday begging to play, those presidents might choose delaying the start of the season from Labor Day to the final day of the final weekend of September instead of all the way to the spring. Nebraska head coach Scott Frost, as vocal as anyone yesterday.
We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
That was definitely not the cut I wanted to play. What I wanted him to tell you was the downfall of canceling football, which we've already discussed in part on the show about what do I do with these kids when they go home? Are they safer there? They may be safer here. The point is, as he also said, he wants to play and they want to play. The Huskers among a handful of Big Ten schools scheduled to practice today while they wait to learn their fate. There is a Pac-12 meeting today too, while the Mountain West Conference has decided to postpone all fall sports, hopefully until the spring. Baseball players didn't want to spend the entire season in bubbles in Florida and Arizona, but maybe there will be bubbles for the playoffs. MLB reportedly considering using multiple sites for its playoffs to limit travel and other means of exposure. LA, Chicago, and New York would make the most sense. Zach Plesac wasn't the only Cleveland pitcher that broke rules and went out to dinner Saturday night in Chicago. Mike Clevinger was there too, but the team didn't find out until yesterday. Clevinger apparently sat in meetings and defended what Plesac did while knowing he had done the very same thing, which may be why he was defending him. So Clevinger is now in 72 hours of quarantine, which means he will not start tonight against the Cubs. And the Cardinals-Tigers doubleheader on Thursday has been postponed with St. Louis's COVID outbreak continuing. On the field yesterday, Oakland's nine-game winning streak ended in Anaheim 10-9. The Twins' four-game slot ended in Milwaukee 4-2. The Padres topped the Dodgers 2-1. and the Astros beat the Giants 6-4. No punishment yet for Houston or Oakland for Sunday's brawl. The NBA bubble last night, the Lakers got by the Nuggets 124-121. That snaps a three-game skid. Kyle Kuzma, the tie-breaking three with 0.4 seconds left. Toronto beat Milwaukee 114-106, and the Heat down the Pacers 114-92 for a one-game lead on Indy for the four seed. Jimmy Butler back after missing three of the right foot injury, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. And yes, the Rangers won the NHL draft lottery last night. They have the number one pick on October 9th, which should be used on young Canadian forward Alexei Lafreniere. DA, back to you.
Great job, AB. Speaking of great jobs, Jeremy tweets, and we need a Connor Green segment every morning. I almost had to pull over due to laughing so much. Bum, bum, bum. Look, I didn't plant that either. The fact of the matter is this. Mraz is a very entertaining fellow, but he has limitations as a producer. And if we were to somehow find a producer that did not have his same limitations and was also entertaining on the radio, well, now we've got a real threat to Mraz. And I know a lot of you guys love Mraz. I'm not trying to push him out the door. But what I'm saying is it would be very valuable as a commodity on this show if we had somebody that actually did Mraz's job capably. Because, look, let's face it. A lot of executive producers in syndicated sports talk radio have a lot of talents. Audio editing, production, guest booking, story development. You know, there's a lot of things that go into being a producer. Mraz doesn't do most of those exceptionally well. Okay. What he is good at is making us laugh.
But he's very, your mother.
He is a character. He's a cartoonish type character, and he's really funny and very lovable most of the time when he's not pigging out about his Yankees. But all the things that you normally rely on for an executive producer, he really does not do all that well. So Connor actually does most of those things well, certainly better than Mraz, but the bar is set very, very low there. But we don't know, you know, when a producer can have a good on-air presence as well, and Connor seems to have that. So I'm not pushing Mraz out the door, but it is interesting, AB, when we have Connor do this segment and you go, well, you know, this is an executive producer that could step in and actually do on-air stuff as well. Not pushing Mraz out the door, but this is the type of delivery we'd like from Mraz on all counts, good on the air, but also actually can produce a radio show also.
Right. As talented as Sean is, and he's talented, there's no doubt about that. You'd wish that he was just as talented, or if not more talented, as a producer, that the on-air stuff was the secondary role, was the icing on the cake, as opposed to it being the main course, and he's just sprinkling a guest or two over a hot take here and there.
Over the weekend, a doubleheader at Michigan. And on Sunday, Eric Almirola, driver the number 10 Ford Mustang, comes in 6th place, a top 10 finish at Michigan for Almirola. And he's got a great backstory. He always loved racing. Went to school, actually, as a mechanical engineer to try to get into racing at any part and parcel that he could. And he's also a great lover of bowling, which I think very popular here on the DA show. Eric Almirola joins us this morning here on the show. Eric, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, Sunday's a great finish for you guys. Top 10 finish. You come in number 6, but you also do it with a backup car going into Sunday, which provided, I'm sure, a lot of challenges for you and the crew. What were the challenges you faced, and how are you guys able to overcome them on Sunday?
Well, I think the major challenge was just the amount of work that went into preparing that, you know, next car for a race that was happening less than 12 hours from the time that the race finished on Saturday night. So that was, you know, that was challenging. that was a lot of work for those guys to get that much work done on the car and then get the car turned around and back ready to go the next morning for technical inspections before our race started on Sunday. But I got a great group of guys. They busted their butts and built a whole brand new race car for us to go run on Sunday. And we were really good with it. It was very fast, and we drove from the back of the field because we had to start in the back because of a backup car, and drove all the way up into the top 10 and led some laps and competed in the top five and challenged to win the race. So it was a great day for us on Sunday.
And you guys are dealing with an added set of restrictions and hurdles because of social distancing and your limitations inside the garage as a driver. So how much of that add to the challenge of it, knowing that you just could not be alongside them as they rebuilt this car and built it going into Sunday?
Well, I'm a team guy. I love being with my team. I enjoy being a part of, you know, the group and hanging out with them. And when things get tough, I want to jump right in there and be with them and show them that I support them. And so not having that ability to be in the garage area and hang out with them is certainly tough. That's been one of the hardest parts about the whole COVID restrictions and process, just not having a lot of face-to-face time and interaction with my team and being able to, you know, shake their hands, pat them on the back, and do those sort of things that I enjoy doing with them.
Eric Almirola joins us this morning on the show. Top 10 finish of Michigan on Sunday. And as I had mentioned, you know, your background, you went to UCF for mechanical engineering because your dream was, hey, if I can't drive a NASCAR, I want to at least be part of the pit crew members. I want to be part of a team that builds cars. I want to know how to do this. And so you have a different type of education and background than many drivers do. How has that helped you in your career, understanding so much more the mechanics of the car than potentially other drivers do?
Well, it helps a lot, really, in my opinion. I think that having, you know, that experience and that just that knowledge and understanding of knowing what makes the race car tick, what, you know, how things work mechanically and the engineering aspect of all of it, you know, it just helps me be able to communicate and have better dialogue with my crew chief and my engineers. That, you know, they're ultimately making the decisions and the changes to the race car to try and make it go faster. And when I have, you know, input that, you know, they can understand and you know, I can understand them and they can understand me, it makes that level of communication just that much better.
I've been so impressed by NASCAR's ability to navigate the pandemic and to pull off these races and this season as though it was just business as usual. And I know it's not business as usual, but there are so many challenges that every one of these leagues and circuits faces. And NASCAR did it earliest and did it really well. Have you been maybe surprised that some of the challenges you would have expected have gone smoother than normal? Or are we not seeing a lot of the challenges behind the scenes and we're just seeing the televised product on Saturdays and Sundays?
Yeah, I think it's both, really. I think NASCAR has done an incredible job with getting our sport back going. And then really on top of that, you know, just all of the safety protocols that are in place and the guidelines that, you know, as an industry we're following, it has really set us up to travel and put on these events in different locations and do it in the safest manner possible. And that is one thing that NASCAR has stressed to all of us through this process is, you know, while of course we all want to get back to racing, in order for us to do this and you know, to not get egg on our face, really, it's extremely important to follow the protocols, the guidelines, and to make sure that we're all doing our part to be safe. And so I feel like not only is it, you know, what NASCAR has done and set as the precedent, but the people in the industry, the teams, the drivers, everybody has taken it so seriously. And we've all, you know, just are completely bought in that it's working. I mean, it is absolutely working. We've had a few, you know, We've had a few people test positive, and they've had to immediately go through the quarantine process. But it has not been an issue to where it has outbroke or spread throughout our industry, which has been really nice and fortunate for us that we can continue to run our sport and put on the show for all of our fans. And I think that we've even gained a lot of new fans because of it, because we were the first sport to go back into action, and we've remained in action, from that time back in early May.
I agree. I think you've gained fans. I think you've gained a lot of national support. I think it's been really cool to see. Eric Almirola joins us here on the show, driver the number 10. Go Bowling Ford Mustang. And coming up, we got the Go Bowling 235 at Daytona. And it's the road course. It's coming up on August 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern time on NBC. You grew up going to Daytona. So how special is it to go to Daytona and race on the road course?
Well, it's going to be neat for sure. I grew up going to Daytona, but I grew up going to Daytona watching the Oval. And then I've always run on the Oval, and I've had success on the Oval, and I've won on the Oval. I have never run on that road course that they run the 24-hour race down there. So I have no idea what I'm doing when I get there. But I do love going to Daytona. I love the fact that the sponsor that's on my race car, Go Bowling, is the title sponsor of the race. It's the Go Bowling 235, which we typically would run at Watkins Glen, but because of state restrictions in New York, they're not allowing us to go up there to race. So because of that, we're running this race on the Daytona Road Course, and I think this race, if you are a casual fan or an avid fan or not a fan at all, you should definitely tune in to NBC at 3 o'clock this Sunday to watch this race, because you're going to see a lot of professional race car drivers that are going to go their very first lap on this Daytona road course for the actual race. We have no practice, no testing, no nothing. We're going into this race completely blind, with never turning a lap on this course. And then, oh, by the way, when we take the green flag for the race, we're expected to go, throw a Hail Mary and go as fast as we possibly can on this course that we've never been on.
It's going to be cool. It really is. And the bowling backdrop for you is pretty obvious, because, as you said, your car, sponsor, the race itself, and you're a big bowler. You've been bowling for quite some time. So have you been able to roll at all this summer in the middle of trying to travel with your team and race and everything else going on?
Well, I am a avid bowler. I love to bowl. When I was a kid, that was a way for my mom to get some child supervision for me. She dropped me off at a bowling summer camp. And in growing up in Florida, bowling is awesome in the summer because it's so hot to do anything else outside. So you go in a nice air-conditioned bowling alley and go bowl all day for a summer camp. But through this, COVID process, the bowling centers have been hit hard. And so many of them, small business owners, just really challenged during this time with all the shutdowns and everything. So for them, now they're all starting to open back up. There's so many bowling centers opening back up across America, and you can go to gobowling.com to find out which ones in your area are back open. But they're opening, and they're opening with this new platform and program called Go Bowling America, and it's a non-competitive bowling league that's for all ages. And through the bowling league, you get your own ball, which reduces, the contact issues that you would have. And it's just another way that the bowling alleys are stepping up to make sure that people have some sort of outlet to go have fun with their family, and to go do something that, feels normal again. Everybody keeps talking about this new normal with COVID, but the heck with new normal, man. Let's do some things that get us back to real normal, and going to the bowling alley is one of those things. So I'm excited that so many of the bowling centers are opening back up across the country, And, you know, it should be fun for families to go out to their bowling center and go get their own bowling ball and go start hitting the lanes.
Yep, for sure. I grew up bowling. I was in a bowling league for a long time as well. And it is good, as you said, to see bowling centers opening up across America. Eric Almirola joining us for the number 10 Go Bowling Ford Mustang. Remember that coming up this weekend, Go Bowling 235 at the Daytona Road Course. This is going to be a lot of fun. Very quirky, very interesting. A lot of unprecedented action could happen. 3 p.m. Eastern time on NBC. Congratulations on the top 10 on Sunday, my man. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me. Y'all have a great one.
You too. Eric Almirola joining us this morning on the show. When we come back here on the program, we've got college football coaches that could be in self-preservation mode. We'll talk about it coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I remember you when you would come on NFL AM, and I would have to come on after you, which is tough. It's like, you know, going on at the comedy store after Seinfeld or something. Like, I don't want to follow DA.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We appreciate you being with us on this Trash Tuesday. Let us know what you're trashing by tweeting at me, DA on CBS, or dial me up on the phone at 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies on top of what Geico could already save you? So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. And remember that the DA Show is available on your smart speaker, so tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio every single morning. Just go ahead and say, play CBS Sports Radio and get your day started with us. So much conversation around college football. Should they play? Will they play? Are they canceling? Will they postpone? Will we have spring football? And one thing that's pretty obvious is that the coaches keep telling us how much they want to play and how much the kids want to play. And look, I'm a huge college football fan. I would love to see the sport played, but I understand the inherent risks and hesitations. I understand that it's way harder to get this thing played than the NFL because there's not a contract. There's not a union. There's not two business parties coming together and figuring out liabilities. So I get it. It's really hard. And it's also unique and different conferences in different parts of the country with different leadership and academics tied into this. And so it's just it's a hot mess, way different than a streamlined NFL as a business property. But the coaches are really going all out. Boy, you know where their rooting interest is. Here is Nebraska head coach Scott Frost.
People need to understand the carnage and aftermath of what college athletics looks like if we don't play. This isn't as simple as canceling a Little League game and picking up and playing the next Saturday. There's a lot of effects to our states, to our communities, to our universities, to our athletic departments, to other sports, to people's employment and jobs. This is a huge decision. And that's why I'm proud of the leadership of the University of Nebraska that's going to continue to fight for Nebraskans and for this university and this athletic department.
Ooh. He used the word carnage. The carnage that will take place if we don't play college football. Now, I have talked about this incessantly over the last couple of weeks and months, that the need for college football is so obvious for so many of these universities because of what they leverage college football's income to do for the rest of their university. But boy, when you start talking about carnage, now you've really set the alarms up. It's going to be carnage, financial ruin, if we do not play college football. And this is such an interesting way to frame it because we are supposed to believe that these athletes are just students. They happen to be athletes, but they're students first. Now, nobody talks about the carnage or the financial ruin that could beset states, as Scott Frost just did, if, say, Nebraska didn't have kids on campus, they did all virtual learning, or even if they just didn't hold school for the fall semester, nobody's talking about, oh my God, the state, forget it, we go under, carnage. So, as these coaches, of course, stomp their feet for football because that is self-preservation for them personally, it also brings into focus that we should never actually try to act like our student athletes are students at all. They're basically the differentiator between normalcy and carnage.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.